Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, episode 97, I believe. This day, it is a Wednesday. It is May 7th, I think, and we have with us, straight back from the other hemisphere, former Cal Poly basketball player and current NBL champion, Drake Uyu. Drake, what's going on, man?
Hey, not much, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, man. Hey, so how long have you been back in the U.S.? The NBL season ended not too long ago, right?
Yeah, I've been back, I think today is a week, so, yeah, it's been good to, you know, kind of see friends, and, yeah, it's kind of weird. Yeah, it's been a long year, but it's really good seeing everybody.
Yeah, so, what's the last, like, I'm going to ask you some questions about Australia today for sure, because I'm interested to know what it's like down there, but what's the last month been like for you? I mean, your team was in the playoffs. Describe the atmosphere in the NBL down in Australia. It's the National Basketball League, right? Describe like the last month or so for you being on a team that was in the playoffs and a team that eventually ended up winning the championship. Kind of take me through it step by step if you want to. In terms of you guys were good during the regular season. What seed were you going into the playoffs, and how does that work out there?
Yeah, so, you know, in the NBL, there's 8 teams, kind of in all the major cities. It used to be about 16 teams, but a couple of teams folded, I think, you know, midway during the 2000s. But, yeah, Perth is, so the top 4 teams make the playoffs. We, fortunately, were the number 1 seed, so we were able to lock up home court advantage throughout the playoffs, which is huge. Each round is a 3-game series, so the higher seed has the home court for one game. You go to the opposition team for one game, and then you come back to your home court for the third game if it's necessary. So that's kind of the format that they have. And you know, from the moment I got to Perth, you know, I could just tell we're a very talented team. You know, all 1 through 10 guys. You know, we're. From the moment I got there, we just all meshed really well together. You know, I was fortunate enough to come onto a team with a lot of veteran leadership. So, you know, as a young guy who's just coming out of college, you know, it's a pretty big transition, especially going into a top league in a country where, you know, suddenly I'm the youngest guy on the team, you know. So, it was an awesome experience. The past month has just been just flown by, you know, and, kind of surreal now looking back on it, like, wow, you know, I won a, finally won a championship, and I don't know, you kind of get to see like all the hard work that it takes to actually do that. So it's definitely a big accomplishment for me, and something that, you know, my teammates and I will remember for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, I think outside of the U.S., just in terms of just, you know, how I would feel about it, and I don't know if it's the actual case, but it seems like the Australian league, you know, compared to other leagues outside the U.S. is a pretty high level league. What was kind of the impetus for going to Australia? I know you have a parent or a family member who's Australian, and that kind of got you into that league. Is that kind of how that worked, or was that why you preferred?
Yeah, you know, as soon as my year was done at Cal Poly, my senior year, I had an AU coach I was really close with, Phil Handy, and you know, he had found out that my mom was born in Australia, so he's the one who kind of planted the seed, like, dude, if you want to play professionally, you know, you should apply for that dual citizenship. So as soon as I was done with the year, you know, I applied for it back in, you know, maybe April of last year, and you know, from then on, it was kind of a waiting game. It was kind of awkward, you know. A lot of my friends were going into the workforce and whatnot, and here I am, you know, hoping and waiting that, you know, I'd get Australian citizenship. So, you know, it didn't really pan out until about August when my agent hit me up one night and was like, look, an opportunity popped up. One of the contracted guys at Perth just went off an Achilles injury, so it opened up a spot. He told me to pack for 4 days. I was going to go out there and work out with their club, and then I needed to come back to eventually get my Australian passport. So I packed for 4 days, thinking that I'd be back, you know, the next week. And all of a sudden, I ended up playing really well. And, you know, the club really liked me, and I'm not going back. You know, since then, I lived for 4 days. You know, I had a couple T-shirts, a couple pairs of underwear and whatnot. And,
you had to go to the store.
Exactly. You know, as soon as I signed that contract, you know, I was straight to the shopping, straight to picking up some much needed clothes, and you know, everything that I left back at home. So, you know, it's been a crazy year. It's kind of a last minute ordeal, and you know, I just praise God that everything works out, and I was able to, you know, have that experience.
Yeah, with Drake Uyu here. Luke, who also is one of the co-founders of our site, lived in Perth, I think, for like 6 months, and he talked, you know, a lot about the city and how great it was. It's kind of on kind of the it's on the west coast of Australia, and you know, a ways away from any, you know, a lot of other major cities out there. What's the vibe like in Perth? Is it a pretty cool city? Is it definitely a place you'd recommend to go visit?
Definitely. I mean, the cool part about playing over there is, you know, you're able to travel, and, you know, there's even a team in New Zealand, so you're able to travel, see a bunch of different cities, and see all of Australia, which is really cool. So, yeah, and to be honest, my favorite city out of all of Australia was definitely Perth. Perth is, you know, it's pretty isolated. It's on the west coast, while all the major cities are on the east coast, so... you know, Perth is just a very spread out city. And one thing I do love about Australia is, you know, population wise, all of Australia population is, I want to say, 28 million or something. And just for that perspective, the population of California is 33 million. So, you know, it's a lot more spread out, a lot less people. And, you know, in Perth specifically, it's very, you know, low key, very mellow. Some of the most beautiful beaches that I've ever seen. And people are very friendly. You know, it's not super busy. It's,
right.
I mean, it was just a great spot for me to end up. And, yeah, you know, not a ton of traffic or anything. Everything's pretty relatively easy to get to. So, it's definitely my favorite city that I've ever been to.
Was there, I mean, obviously they speak English there as opposed to other places. I know, like, Dylan went to Mexico, and Jordan Lewis is playing in Israel right now. How much of a culture shock, or was there any kind of a culture shock, or was it kind of that, you know, you had, I mean, you even had a guy from the Big West on your team, and James Ennis, who I think was the MVP there this year. Talk about, like, what kind of adjustment was that? Did having guys like James Ennis and I think Jermaine Beal, he's a American too, right? Having those guys on your team, you know, does that kind of help with that transition, or what kind of a transition was it really for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one thing about the Australian league that I think will continue to attract a lot of good talent. You know, the league is under new ownership this year, and you know, I think it's a league that's really on the rise. You know, like you said, you know, the marketing's really good, and you know, in the next couple of years, they're hoping to add a couple more teams to the league. So, in terms of the transition, you know, the transition isn't very big. It's, you know, there's no culture shock. It's very similar to America. And, you know, the positive of that, too, is, you know, you're playing during their summer. So, for me right now, it's pretty much a year-round summer.
You're on, like, endless summer. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, the transition wasn't difficult at all. The city is, I mean, they treat their players very well, you know. Like, on a smaller scale, obviously, but we're pretty much like the Los Angeles Lakers of the NBA, you know,
yeah.
In terms of, like, the following that we get. You know, we play in a brand new arena that was built, you know, last year, and, you know, we were selling out at around 14,000 fans every single game. So, you know, and the fact that I was able to land on the same team as James was just icing on the cake. You know, we lived together, and, we had a nice little apartment right in Scarborough Beach, which was, you know, literally a 2-minute walk from the water. And, you know, so, I mean, we were able to, you know, it was nice to be able to share that experience together. I think we definitely helped each other, like, during the homesick times. And, but, I mean, you know, it's really hard to be homesick when you're doing what you love and own dreams and, you know, the city treats you so well. So
yeah,
it was one of the coolest stuff we've experienced I've had so far, and it was awesome.
Yeah, so Jermaine – James Ennis, he was the Big West MVP last season in your senior year. You guys were both seniors at the same time. And you go there and you end up living with a guy. He gets drafted by the Heat and then gets loaned out to Perth for the season. What's something about James Ennis that most people don't know or that you didn't know before you played with him and lived with him?
Yeah, before, I mean, he is an incredible – literally, I mean, I had a little taste of it, obviously, in the Big West, but he's an incredible talent. I mean, he's definitely the best player I've ever played with. And I've played with a lot of good players and worked out with a lot of good players. But, you know, I think that, you know, he's a deceptive shooter. Like, he can really stretch the floor. You know, he has a 7-foot wingspan. So, I mean, he's able to, you know, he'll be at the rim in 2 seconds. He's the best player I've ever seen in transition. And he's also a very humble guy. He works really hard. Every day, he's very professional about his business, and his personality-wise, he was awesome. You know, I think we instantly got along very well, and it's fun kind of sharing, you know, Cal Poly Long Beach moments that we had, and it's funny too because you know Cal Poly and Long Beach are so opposite in terms of socially the styles that we play. So just kind of reminiscing about our college days and, you know, the irony that we were able to, you know, both land at the same team, you know, out of all the teams in the entire world. So it was awesome. You know, James has become one of my best friends, and yeah, it's something that we'll never forget.
Excellent, excellent. Here with Drake UU, Perth Wildcats champ. Drake, during the season, you and I emailed back and forth after I think Anthony Silvestri had a big game, and I could just kind of picture your tone as you were describing kind of how Joe Calero and the team found Anthony Silvestri. But I want you to tell me the story because I've never heard it kind of out of your mouth. I just read it, you know, what you wrote, and I was super entertained by it. So for our fans who didn't hear it, you know, Anthony went for, I think, like 18 points or something of the sort against Santa Barbara.
Yeah, I think it was 17.
17.
But no,
okay,
no,
sorry.
18 because that's already too big. That's all he still talks about.
I mean, the last shot was a two-pointer where he up-faked the guy and stepped just inside and nailed it like it wasn't no thing. Tell me the story about how you guys found Ant in the rec there.
Yeah, so I was I think we had just finished season or something my junior year. And, you know, it's in the offseason. I have a lot of friends on the football team, so a couple of us, we would always go and play pickup at the rec center. You know, it was a brand new rec center just opened. So one night we were just out there kind of messing around and playing pickup and obviously running the course, you know, unlike anything that I'm sure Anthony's told you. I'm going to tell you the truth, by the way, because I'm sure Anthony's completely fabricated this. But he was playing on the opposite team. He's wearing, like, these Nike Freeze, like, not even wearing basketball shoes. It looked like he was, like, not even there to play basketball. He just was like, oh, sure, I'll play. So, yeah, I just remember playing and, like, hitting a couple shots. And, like, every single time down the floor, like, he was the only one on his team. And I just remember, like, seeing his shot. And I was like, gosh, this guy's got a really nice shot. You know, and then he was playing defense on me. And, I mean, obviously I was still hitting shots every single time he guarded me. But it was a little difficult. I've been playing some decent defense. But, but he was coming right back at me and, you know, trying to, hitting shots right back on me. So, after the game, obviously my team won. He'll complain that it's because my team was more stacked than his. But anyways, afterwards, I went up to him and was like, hey, man, what's your name? Where are you from? And you know, he was just the coolest. I mean, he's very soft-spoken. You know, you talk to him, he's really chill. Like, you know, dude, from San Francisco. Then I played high school basketball. I was like, well, why don't you come out and, you know, you can definitely get, like, it's always good to get new guys. different faces instead of just playing, you know.
Well, and especially a guy with a body like that. You know, he's 6'7", so, you know, at the very least.
The guy with the body of a Greek god, red hair. Just, so, yeah, it was just, it would be an honor for us, you know, for him to come out and play with us. But, so, dude, he comes out, and the best part is he comes out to open, like, walks out, and Jamal, like, I remember Jamal specifically running up to me, and, like, you know, every once in a while we get, like, a couple guys who just try and, like, get on the court, and, like, you know, sometimes we just went with them because, like, we didn't know who they were, or, you know, it was kind of like a close circle when we played, but, like, Jamal's like, yo, like, who is this guy? Where is he coming from? Like, what, do you know him? So I'm like, yeah, he's gonna, like, let him play. Like, I play with some other recs. He's pretty solid. Watch, bro. Like, you're going to. And sure enough, like, see, you could guard them, and he was just in the bucket. And, you know, everybody's calling him, you know, Scalabrini, you know, Andy Dalton, you know, all these different, Matt Bonner, you know, they're giving all these nicknames already. And I'm like, so I instantly, you know, after open gym, I went to Claire's office. I was like, hey, you got to check this kid out. You know, the assistant coaches came down, and sure enough, he's still hitting shots. And, you know, one thing comes to another, and, you know, he has a great personality. You know, he's very charismatic, and the guys are just, you know, instantly very cool with him. And the coolest part is, you know, he ends up coming, becoming one of my best friends. And it was just such a cool story how, you know, a year before that, he was, like, trying out for the rugby team and, you know, having a beer on, like, a Wednesday night. And, you know, a year later, he's traveling at UCLA and, you know, took the game. You know, it's pretty cool story. And, Yeah, it was. I'm glad that I was there at the rec center. I'm glad you were there also.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the reactions there, and he earned himself a scholarship for next year, his senior year. So that'll be cool.
Yeah, definitely.
You mentioned that you hung out with some of the football players that were your friends. If basketball didn't exist, would you have played football, or what other sport kind of would have piqued your interest?
Yeah, I definitely think I'm a huge football fan. And you know, guys like Nico Molina and Asa Jackson, or like guys, Brandon Machado, Bill Brooks, are all guys that I used to hang out with. So I think if I hadn't played basketball, I think, you know, I definitely would like to play football. You know, my dad really wanted me to play, you know, him being Samoan heritage and all, but my mom was just never really that down for me to play. So, but yeah, I would have loved to, you know, maybe go out there. I used to love, you know, throwing the ball. I would, you know, love to play quarterback, or, you know, maybe a wide receiver or something. But
you think you would have played wideout, not a big tight end or a running back or something like that? Maybe free safety.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know about running back. I think I'm a little too tall and probably too slow. But yeah, tight end or something like that. Yeah,
nice.
I think I would have done all right.
Nice, nice. So you're in Australia, and Cal Poly goes on their little run at the end of the year. Tell me about kind of how closely you followed the team throughout the year, and what were your thoughts when you saw, you know, them beat UCSB and then Irvine and get to the Big West Tournament Championship, you know, a place that you guys a year before were a tip-in away from you know, being in that championship game yourselves.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience. You know, they obviously it's funny because all of my teammates on the Wildcats, they all went to D1 school. So at the beginning of the year, I'm like, you know what? Put your money on Cal Poly. That's what you need to put your money on to make the tournament. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, right. So, you know, and then the whole year they always ask, how, like, you know, during the year, they're like, oh, you know, how's Cal Poly doing? Did Cal Poly win today? Did Cal Poly win today? You know?
Were they just like messing, trying to mess with you? Like, how's Cal Poly doing? Oh, they lost the last four. How about
that? They were always just wanting to be up there. Like, how's Long Beach doing? Like, Long Beach doing decent. And they're like, oh, how's Cal Poly doing? I'm like, you know, they're just waiting for the right time, you know. They'll start winning when it matters. And they're all like, Cal Poly sucks. Oh, wow. Like, just wait, man. And then sure enough, like, you know, you get a Kyle back, you get a Reese back, and guys start, you know, getting healthy. And then they start making this run, and I remember James specifically was just out of his mind. Like, you know, you guys didn't make the tournament. I'm like, I know, I told you. So, you know, that run was really cool. And, you know, as an alumni, it's pretty cool when you're still playing. And, you know, like all of my teammates were cheering for their respective schools during, you know, their conference tournaments and whatnot. So it's cool that Cal Poly was able to represent. And, you know, I was rocking my Cal Poly shirts and whatnot. And so it was fun, and I'm super happy for them all.
So I saw online, and last year at the Cal Poly Basketball Awards Banquet, you won the Media Darling Award, and I saw online that if you go to order just the generic, and they call it a singlet, but the generic Perth Wildcats jersey, the model that they chose for the Perth Wildcats jersey is none other than Drake UU to show off the jersey. What's with that, and what's with you in the media?
You know, I'm not sure. You know, I just try and smile, and I guess just try and
have
as much fun as I can during all of it.
I was telling Jivo about, you know, that he could get, you know, a Drake UU jersey for $100 if he wanted one. They're available online, and he was kind of rolling his eyes at me like, "Are you serious?" And
you know, it's funny because they do a great job marketing, and you know, obviously there's a huge fan base, you know, so you know, I definitely was fortunate enough to, you know, have a lot of supporters out there, and I don't know, I mean, it's just something that they do a really good job with their media there too, and they're always interviewing us and having little videos, so
yeah,
you know, I try to have as much fun as I can with that, and you know, give the fans something to, you know.
Yeah, I was
enjoy and have fun with.
I was impressed from here, I gotta say, just because you know, I could kind of follow the team from here and get a decent idea about it without watching the whole games. You know, they would do real good,
exactly.
Real good recaps and real good, you know, replays and, you know, instant replays even during the game with, you know, usually of a James Ennis dunk. What was your welcome to the pros moment for yourself? Like, a lot of guys will talk about, you know, a big hit in a football practice, or you know, you get in the game and you get a, you know, a crazy call against you, and you're like, oh man, I'm a rookie again. What was your like welcome to the pros moment in Australia?
Yeah, I guess my welcome to the pros was probably you know, early on, and just the officiating, like I got called for a lot of fouls, and coming from Cal Poly, where, you know, Coach Calero always says, you know, foul as much as you can and without getting called. So as long as you can get away with it, pretty much, you know, go ahead and foul as much as you can. So I was getting fouled, especially, you know, and all my coaches were telling me, you know, I'm a rookie. And so, you know, as soon as I started in the game, you know, any touch you foul, anything, you know, physical, any bump, it's going to be a foul on me. So I quickly realized that when I had, you know, maybe four fouls in the span of like three minutes one game. I was just like, you gotta be kidding me. And I thought it was like, you know, I'm thinking it's like, you know, it's just the way, I mean, I'm supposed to use an arm bar. I'm supposed to, this is how I've been taught, you know, it's just something that I had to adjust to. So I guess as far as if I could think of one, like, you know, welcome to the next level league,
yeah,
I guess that would probably be one of them.
In the championship game, I think that what they call it, like the decider, they had some funny name for it that was pretty awesome. And by the way, when you listen to the play-by-play guy with an Australian accent go off about a James Ennis dunk and get just like aggro about it, it's really fun. I enjoyed that. But in the last game there, you guys were up by 30 pretty early on. You know, you were really putting it to, was it Adelaide, or who were you playing?
Yeah.
So you're putting it to him, and you got in the game and hit kind of a step back three pointer, something that, you know, and man, you jumped really far back for that thing. You made sure you were behind the line. What about your game? If a Cal Poly fan is listening who only watched you play at Cal Poly, what about your game is a lot different now that you've been a professional for a year than maybe when it was, you know, your senior year at Cal Poly, when you were playing point guard for the first time and trying to kind of figure out how to run the Joe Calero offense versus kind of where you're at now?
Yeah, you know, I would say there's been a couple of big adjustments. This year, you know, I kind of got recruited there to play a backup point guard role. And, you know, the background, I mean, you know, when I was playing at Cal Poly, it was more, I envisioned myself as more of someone that could just bring the ball up under pressure without turning it over and, you know, get us into a set. Like, I never thought of it as, like, you know, I'm the extension of a coach out there and I need to get, make sure everybody's in the right places. And so, this year, I, you know, I was, you know, as a rookie, I was able to learn a lot from, you know, our captain, Damian Martin, who, you know, he's on the Australian national team point guard, and also Jermaine Beal. And I was just able to learn a lot from those guys, just seeing how vocal they are as point guards, getting people on the right page, the amount of film that they watch. You know, just little things like that, little nuances of the position that I think will definitely help me going forward. Also, from like an offensive standpoint, you know, Coach Calero's system is very half-court. We use all the clock.
It was until you left. I'm just kidding. I said it was until you left, but I was just kind of mostly joking.
It's a style, and I mean, it works, granted, but, you know, the professional game is it's a 24-second shot clock, so everything has to be a lot quicker. So, you know, coach really tried to take out, like, sometimes I go in and fish, you call it fishing, but sometimes I go in, kind of probe a little bit, but then it was there, and I pull it back out and swing it. And, you know, it's just the next level is a lot about quicker decisions. You know, and our coach is adamant, like, he believes in me shooting, and he knows that I'm a good shooter, and he had complete faith when I'm open to pull it. So it was almost there's a different role, and that's something that I really worked on this year, you know, in terms of my specific game. You know, it's very nice not having to run off to class after a practice where I can, you know, this is my job now. And so, you know, after practice, I'm able to get a lot of reps up afterwards, and I was able to really focus on my shot and, you know, building that consistency. And I think that that's something that improves.
Yes, you know, I agree. I agree. Absolutely. Yeah, having watched and looked at the stats and kind of just kept track throughout, you know, and watching even, you know, even in the preseason towards the beginning of the year. I mean, there were a lot of games when you were 1-for-1, 2-for-2 from 3-point range, and that's definitely not something that we saw as much of, especially towards the middle end of last year at Cal Poly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so. Did you sign a 1-year contract over there? And do you have like, how does that work in terms of your contract and your status? Is it something that you want to continue to play over in Australia next year? Is this kind of your path right now, or where are you at as far as all that? Coming from somebody who has no clue what you're thinking and where you're going.
Yeah, so I did sign a 1-year. You know, last year, early in the year, Perth offered a 2-year contract before I signed, and my agent felt that the 1-year deal was going to be more beneficial to me. It kind of gave me more flexibility, and so I went with a 1-year. And so as of now, I'm technically a free agent. And you know, I'd love to go back to Perth. You know, it's a great city, and obviously, I loved it so much. But you know, if everything doesn't work out, you know, I'm definitely open to playing with another club in Australia. You know, it's interesting the way that I have it set up is. They have a point system, player point system, that's in effect. So it's essentially an attempt to kind of create parity in the league where, you know, Perth can't recruit all the best players, all 10 best players in Australia. So simply put, you know, any import that you get, it costs 10, each player, those players are worth 10 points each.
Right.
And, you know, this little...
But are you considered an import?
No, I'm considered an Aussie since I do have citizenship. So
right.
That's what makes me pretty remarkable. So a player straight out of college that's coming back from Australia is a 3-point player automatically. A player who's been out of the league for a year and comes back to play, they're a 3-point player. And then the rest is done according to, like, it's a formula that they use based on your minutes played, your statistics. So since I did play, and I mean, I didn't get a ton of minutes, but since I tried to take advantage of my minutes when I did get them, and I had a pretty solid year. So the consequence of that is my point rating went up to a 4. And so it might not sound like much, but in the scheme of things, I was able to play this year because I was a 3-point player, and Perth was at, each team is only allowed 70 points total.
Right.
So almost like somewhat of a salary cap. So.
Right.
But now this year that I bumped up to a 4, and since first might only have 3 points available, then that would mean that I would have a job. So, able to return back to Perth. So the problem with that is you have guys who were out of a job. They're, you know, maybe they're good players, maybe 5-point players, but, you know, teams can afford to take them on. So that's like the, you know, positive, negative outlook is on the whole player point system.
Right.
But that's kind of why, you know, I'm not really sure, but your agent is very good, and he's confident that I'll be able to, you know, he'll get me on somewhere else, and whether it's Australia or even somewhere in Europe, you know. But, you know, I had a little taste of, you know, the professional life, and, you know, I'm living a dream, so I want to keep it going. And, you know, I just thought being able to play the sport that you love for, you know, a job is, I mean, it's a big come true. So, yeah, back at home in Sacramento, I'm working out pretty hard. Just started actually last week, and yeah, just getting back in the swing of things, and yeah, just back to the guard, and yeah, just kind of waiting for that next step. But I'm definitely continuing to pursue the dream.
Are you kind of open to, I mean, you talked about, like, you know, you just mentioned it, if it doesn't work out in Australia, to like Europe or someplace else. I mean, is that something that you're just kind of totally open to, and you kind of have to be at this point?
Yeah, open to, I mean, I think if it's, you know, I'm sure they'll sit down with agents and they'll kind of give me some different options. But I love Australia. You know, it was a perfect lifestyle for me, and a really good fit socially and basketball-wise. I think it's a really good league, and I know I can be a good player in that league. So, you know, and I'm definitely open to, you know, it's just, everything just kind of, you know, depends on the situation and, you know, what role I can be playing, and you know, I'm sure my agent has a good idea of where he'll place me, and yeah, just kind of try to take care of that.
Right on. Well, for any of you Slowtown fans, I'll link to the Drake UU jersey that you still can probably buy from the Perth Wildcats shop. It might cost you as much to ship as it does to buy. How many jerseys did you bring back for people who asked you, or did you bring back any?
Yeah, I actually brought back a couple. But I have the club is shipping me back like a big box. So I ordered a decent amount. And Chris O'Brien, actually, he went out and purchased one. And I thought that was the coolest thing because he did it back in like January or something.
Yeah,
he said he loves it. He wears it all the time.
That's great, right? I mean, that's kind of a you talk about living the dream. That's part of that deal, it seems like. And congratulations on a good first rookie season. You know, there's a lot of Mustangs that are out and about around the world, playing professionally in different places. And I think probably your team this year was probably the highest profile. Although, do you talk to Jordan Lewis much? Is his team seems like it's in the championship right now? I don't read Hebrew, but when they post about it, I go to Google Translate and I follow his team, I think, or maybe it's his representation, like his agency on Facebook. But I think his team's in the championship.
No, you know, I haven't talked to him in a couple of weeks, but I did see that. I think that they're also fighting for a championship. And, you know, I know that Christina Santiago won. And,
and she was the MVP in Bulgaria again?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Mark won a championship. So, yeah, it's been a good year for Cal Poly Sports. And, you know, kudos to them for continuing to follow their dream as well.
Who was that last person you said?
Amari.
Oh, Amari won championship in Cyprus.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
It's awesome for them, and you know, I'm looking forward to hopefully catching up with them over the summer and trying to catch up and hear about their stories and their journeys also. So
cool, man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, I know you have you're back in Sacramento, and I'm sure you have people to see and workouts to be had. I really appreciate you taking a few minutes, and maybe we'll have you on again when you know where you're going to go next year.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you for having me, man.
No problem, Drake. Hey, have a good one, man. Take it easy.
Bye, brother. Thank you, man.
See ya.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It
it's a lonely place, it's true. Streetlights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue.